Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Your call is for people to live a life that is wide awake.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me, I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
I'm Jim Burns. You know, over the past 30 years of youth and family ministry, I have seen lots of kids grow from being awkward and kind of gangly teenagers into actually becoming responsible adults who accomplish some pretty great things. At the same time, I also know some kids from my youth worker days and even now who really did not experience the full potential of what God had in store for their lives. Well, sometimes a lack of focus can keep us from realizing our dreams. And if that describes your situation right now or your kids, I'm glad you tuned into Homeward today. Author and pastor Erwin McManus is with me here in studio. And in just a moment, we're going to continue our conversation on living the future you were meant to live. Well, if your life could use a bit of focus right now, I hope you'll stay with us. And if you'd like to learn how to do a better job of helping your kids learn how to realize their full spiritual potential, we'll keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Homeward, of course, is on Facebook. Dr. Jim Burns is on Facebook. APU is on Facebook. Dr. Jim Burns tweets. APU tweets. There are so many ways you can use social media to keep engaged with what's happening here at the Ministry of Homeward. A good place to start would be to go to homeward.com, and we've got buttons everywhere, just apps and links and things like that. You can check it out online and become more socially mobile with us. On today's program, part two of Dr. Jim Burns' discussion with Erwin McManus. He's the pastor of Mosaic, which is a very innovative church in the Southland and all throughout the world. And we're going to talk about living the future you are meant to live. Now with part one of today's edition of that broadcast, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. You know, God wants us to reclaim our life and live a life that is alive. And Erwin McManus is going to help us do that. He's one of my favorite speakers and authors. He thinks out of the box, and I appreciate that. You're going to be doing some good thinking today. We're talking about living the future you were meant to live. It's a continuing conversation. Erwin Raphael McManus is the lead pastor at Mosaic Church in Los Angeles. He's a research advisor for the George Gallup Organization, author of numerous great books, Unstoppable Force, Soul Craving, Stand Against the Wind, lots of good stuff. He's married to Kim. And the McManuses make their home in Los Angeles, their son Aaron and Mariah, and they have a foster daughter, Patty. Welcome back to our program.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be back with you.
I love having conversations with you. It stimulates me like crazy, and I know our listeners too, so it's a privilege to have you. Prior to this conversation, we were talking about the fact that people need to focus, and a lot of people don't focus. You know, we laugh today about, you know, kids, if they don't focus, then we give them Ritalin and they have, you know, ADD or ADHD. But as a child, and you told the story before that, you know, you were definitely a child who did not have a whole lot of focus, came from a dysfunctional family. And I want to tell you a story. Somebody said something to me, who you would know this man well, and then I want you to reflect upon it in terms of your own deal, because you had some friends and mentors speak to you about the same thing. I was speaking at the Promise Keepers Pastors Conference years ago, and Jack Hayford, you might even have been speaking at it too. Jack Hayford was the pastor of ceremonies. And I said, Jack, tell me about your leadership. I mean, you've been a leader for 30, 40 years. And he said, well, Jim, the secret is not in what I choose to do. It's what I choose to not do. You know, and I never forgot that. I was just about ready to go on and speak. He was going to introduce me, but I went, oh my goodness. You know, I wrote that down. People have what you call, they're either pre-great or they're on their way to greatness, but a lot of people don't focus, and it's because they're doing too much stuff.
Yeah, there's some people who maybe their struggle is that they haven't found something that really makes them passionate. But there are other people who are passionate about everything.
Yeah.
And those are the people who usually have struggles with focus.
Yeah, well, that's me.
Yeah. And you know, and I had really, I think, functional physiological problems with focus. I mean, I would start every year going, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to do great in school. I would have my notebooks. I have all the books. And, you know, this is the year I'm going to make A's. And by the third or fourth day, I would be oblivious to what was going on. I would go off into this fantasy land, and I would forget the teacher was speaking, and I would lose my notebooks, my books, and I would feel so frustrated by 2 weeks that I would just give up. And people thought that it was because I didn't care. I actually cared so much that I felt terrible about my inability. And so I began realizing, like, this is a liability in my life, and I'm never going to have the focus that a person who's naturally focused has. So you have to find a different way to organize your life. And so what you begin to do is you begin to ask yourself what your big yes is. You know, what are the things that if you gave up, you would feel like your life didn't have its ultimate meaning and purpose? And I just begin to filter through all the different opportunities in life based on my what I would call my life story. I see myself having a life narrative, things that God created me to do. And I ask myself, does this opportunity advance this particular story in my life?
That's fascinating. Now, some of the lessons that we can learn about focus, actually we can learn from the scripture. And you tell a story about Peter. You know, he got scared as he walked on the water. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He saw the wind. You know, all of a sudden, there he is. You know, it's a story that a lot of our people would be familiar with. How does Peter learn to focus?
Well, I think that passage is such an interesting story because a lot of us feel like, you know, if we're people of faith, you know, if we're connected to Jesus, we go, gosh, if I could just see where Jesus was going, I wouldn't get distracted, right? You know, but the problem is Jesus is invisible and, you know, he's an invisible God and he's everywhere. And so he's so easy to lose. It's easy to see my career. It's easy to see my dating relationship. It's easy to see these goals and objectives, but it's hard to see God. And this moment, Jesus was physical. And it says that Peter saw not the waves, that's how people translate it. It actually says he saw the wind. So I think this is such an ironic moment where Jesus was physical. The wind is what you can't see. It's invisible.
Interesting.
And so it tells us really in every moment in life, it's not the difference between, quote, the eternal and the material or the temporal that confuses us. It's about where we keep the focus of our attention.
Yeah.
And so if we keep the focus of our attention on what is it that Jesus really wants for my life?
Right.
Why has he created me? What's the most good in the world he wants me to do? It's amazing how much clarity we end up having.
Yeah. You know, you talk about core. In fact, you learned a little bit more about core because you're in a basketball game and you kind of hurt your back and you had to kind of work then on your core. That's a big thing in keeping in shape. How do you find your core? When you say that, you know, maybe people are helter-skelter all over things, and how do they find that core?
Yeah, I don't want to assume it's the same for everyone, you know, but I know for me, I'm a very relational person. And I began realizing that. Well, and I think here's one of the misconceptions, and I think, Jim, you would experience this. The more God does in your life, the more good options you have. And so early on in my journey with Jesus, it was pretty easy. Don't do evil. Try to do something good.
Right.
But I don't usually wake up in the morning going, do I rob the bank or do I go on Jim's show?
Right.
And now you're having to choose between not good and evil and not even bad and good, but now you're choosing between good and good and then good and great and good and great and extraordinary.
Yeah. Right.
And so the crazy thing about it is the more you walk with Christ, the more you trust him, the more influence you have, the more you're going to have harder choices. So for me, relational choices are really clear. I ask myself, who are the people in my life that are non-negotiable? You know, because I don't think God ever creates us to journey alone. So when a man says, well, I feel like God's calling me to do this, but it's going to hurt my wife and children, I go, you're not listening to the God I know.
And, you know, that was a previous generation, sometimes even Christian leaders who said that.
No, that's exactly right. They used ministry as an excuse to avoid the wife and children.
Right.
And so for me, it's always been my choices have to make my wife Kim's life better. Mm-hmm. My choices has to build my relationship with my kids, with Patty and Aaron and Mariah. My choices have to build my integrity and my trustworthiness to the people that are journeying with me in life. And so I keep relationships at the core of every decision I make.
Right. And relationships are going to help you make the right and wise decisions if you're allowing people to speak into your life.
That's right. And if you're a person with crazy ideas, I'm one of those people where even my close friends are going to go, are you out of your mind? So this is the way we negotiate those relationships.
Right.
I surround myself with people who will speak into my character, even if they don't agree with my ideas.
Mm.
And so I've got a great community of people who say, Erwin, I don't know if this idea will work, but right now we know that you're in a healthy place and we trust you.
Mm.
And so I can keep moving forward on trustworthy relationships in my life.
I think too many people go about doing life on their own, or they're involved with so many things. You know, I love the scripture, it's out of the Message, and Eugene Peterson wrote this out of Romans 9:32. He said, they were so involved in their God projects that they missed God, and then they stumbled into him. You know, it was just a part of a scripture. But, you know, so many times that's exactly our situation. We get so involved in God projects that we sometimes miss God, don't we?
Yeah, and another question I ask myself is this something that either no one else can do or no one else will do?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the difference between success and failure for people is that really people who are successful just simply do the things other people are unwilling to do. It's not that they're more talented or more intelligent. They're just willing to take that little bit of extra effort and that work and that resilience and perseverance it takes. And so I just look for those things. I go, all right, if someone else can do that, then my job is to help that person find that place. If someone else is willing to do that, my job is just to empower them to step into that place. And I just keep making decisions in my life based on those things. Well, I think I'm uniquely created to do this, and maybe no one else will do this, or maybe right now no one else can.
It's good insight from Irwin McManus today here on the Homeward Broadcast. He's the author of the book Wide Awake, and we're discussing living the future you were meant to live. It's a big issue for our kids today as they're kind of looking at a job market that's kind of crazy, and they've been told you go to school and learn a certain thing, and then you can just kind of be whatever you want to be. And the market doesn't always cooperate. Sometimes the family doesn't cooperate. Sometimes the church doesn't cooperate. And it's important for us to be able to give them wisdom and insight into this important issue. And we will have the conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Irwin McManus on the other side of this break. So keep it right here as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
And then you divide by three, solve for X, and you're good to go.
Ah, now I get it. Thanks, Dad.
Anytime, sweetie.
You know, Dad, you're an awesome teacher. Did you ever think about teaching full-time?
Well, actually, I did, Heather, but, you know, God had other ideas.
What do you mean?
Well, I know that my spiritual gifts are teaching and administration, but that doesn't mean teaching is the profession for me. In fact, the insurance business your uncle and I run provides a very nice living for our family.
So, what exactly are spiritual gifts in the first place? Do I have any?
Each of us has certain abilities, talents we're able to use for a number of reasons. But if you're a child of God, you're also equipped with spiritual gifts. Parents, your job is to know what your own spiritual gifts are and then help your kids identify theirs. One way you can do this is by reading my tip sheet called Helping Your Kids Discover Their Spiritual Gifts. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Incredible conversation day. I said at the break to Irwin McManus, who is our guest, I said, this is why we do radio, because of such great conversation. I hope this is as meaningful to you as it is to me. Irwin McManus, he's a research advisor for the George Gallup Organization, lead pastor at Mosaic Church in Los Angeles, and a force around this world to help us understand our soul and the soul cravings that we have. This is a new book called Wide Awake. The Future is Waiting Within You, and it's a great book, and I highly recommend it. I hope you'll get a copy of this book. As we're kind of walking through your message here in terms of living the future you were meant to live, Irwin, one of the things that I enjoyed was that you say basically you have to enjoy life, and you call it sacred pleasure, and I want you to unpack the concept for us.
I think that one of the challenges, you know, when you're a person of faith is, you know, you're aware that the world is desperately disconnected from God and filled with loneliness and despair and hopelessness. At the same time, you're supposed to be able to enjoy a sunrise and enjoy a great meal and enjoy your children and laugh and hug and play. And, you know, this is enough to make anyone, I think, emotionally fragmented. And but the truth of the matter is that we've missed out on the strength that comes from living a life filled with joy. I love that place in the Old Testament where they read the scriptures the first time, Ezra and Nehemiah, and the scriptures had been lost. Everybody stands. Here's, I don't know, 20 different preachers. And then the people begin to tear their clothes and weep and moan because they understood the scriptures. And all the leaders went to them and said, stop tearing your clothes, stop mourning, stop grieving. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he says, you need to go throw parties. You need to go throw celebrations and festivals, invite other people who haven't heard this message. And sometimes we don't connect the dots that if the joy of the Lord is our strength and we're not living a life filled with joy, we're actually living a life in utter weakness. And I think if we could begin to understand that we become stronger when we're enjoying life.
Right.
People need you to be fully alive. And one of the things I wrote in the book, because I began the book in Arusha, Tanzania, is that the world needs you to live your most heroic life. They need you to be most fully alive, because when you are living wide awake, you can actually be a gift to the world.
Yeah. In some ways, it's about something that you talked about in your book. You talk about expecting and how expecting it goes along with kind of a life of faith. you gave a story about your daughter Mariah. Then I just love this story. It was she was going to school, and a lot of times, like my kids will say, you know what, today I'm going to do all my homework at school. But she had a different goal. What was that all about?
Yeah, you know, I'll ask questions like, hey, how'd your day go, or gotcha. You know, or did you survive it? And having such a negative experience with school myself, right. You know. And I remember Mariah just looked at me one day when I asked her one of those nominal average questions. She said, Dad, my goal today was to be vibrant. And she just had this whole vibrancy in her face. She was glowing. And I thought, man, she's just a better human being than me.
Well, that's really our job as parents, though, is if, you know, no matter where we're at, it's to move the legacy along. And that's how you do it a little bit. How did you do that with Mariah? How did she get to that place?
Well, I have to give Kim a lot of credit, yeah. You know, and but, you know, a lot of it is just enjoying life, seeing the beauty in life. Mariah's been to at least 40 different countries around the world with me. And I remember when she was a little girl and we were in Indonesia and all the children just coming out of poverty just surrounded her. And one of our friends was going to grab her. And I said, no, just let it happen. And it isn't that she's been isolated from the pain and difficulty and hardships of the world.
Right.
It's that she's understood that the world needs hope. Yeah. And you can't give hope unless you have
right.
it.
One of the things that you ask believers, are you settling for a life that puts you to sleep? You believe a lot of people are living in a rut, don't you?
I do. And when I was writing the book, I felt like people almost fall into these different categories. There are some people who are pursuing dreams that just don't fit their life. They're going to a really painful, you know, and there's some people who are pursuing a dream that does fit their life, but they don't know how to make it their life. They have no idea what the process is. And again, then there's this other group of people that have just given up on their dreams. They've just accepted a life of utter obligation, and they are just the walking dead. You know, Jim, sitting there listening to the words of Jesus going, I have given you life and life in abundance. And let's be really honest. A lot of Christians read Christian books to affirm what they believe, but then they read non-Christian books to figure out how to live their life. And I think it's because we've been so focused on, quote, giving people the life that comes in Jesus by coming to know him through his death, burial, and resurrection. But we really have become many times silent in our ability to help people know how to live a vibrant and meaningful life.
Boy, that is so true. And obviously, you would bring God into that. You were at a debate at Columbia University. You were asked, you know, when you were a child, you know, and we all did, imaginary friends. But then when you grew up, I mean, you gave them up, but why did you keep God?
Yeah, I thought that was a profound question. Here I am, 500-600 people nodding as professors, students at Columbia, and not really a Christian favorable environment.
Right.
And when they asked me, you know, why did you keep God when you gave up your imaginary friends? The first thing I said is, you clearly don't know me. Because if you knew me, you'd know I'd still have imaginary friends. Because I've never stopped dreaming and imagining. But then I told them, I said, look, when my son was a little boy, he wouldn't eat his vegetables, but he'd go in the backyard and eat the dirt. Right? He wouldn't eat the meal, but eat the rocks. And finally, I told Kim, I said, why don't we just throw the food in the backyard and let him go play? And I thought it would solve two problems at one time. And Kim said no.
Yeah.
And
probably smart. Not good parenting move, but good idea.
But you don't stop your kid from eating because he's eating the dirt.
Right.
You teach him how to distinguish between the food that makes you healthy and the food that, well, that's really hard to digest. And will create great pain in the future. And the same with my imagination, your imagination. Yes, you have imaginary friends. You know, you have Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the giant rabbit that hides in your closet and comes out at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. And you have God. And just because you're a child and you can't distinguish between what's real and what's not real, what's healthy and not healthy, it doesn't mean you give up on dreaming. You realize that your imagination is given to you by God. It's the only place God can really speak to you where you don't have the limitations of being human. You can see a person that you are not yet. You can see a life you've not yet lived. So I told the students at Columbia, first of all, if your imaginary friend makes you a better person, moves you out of self-centeredness to servanthood, if your imaginary friend makes you a gift to the world, and don't give up that imaginary friend because it's going to be the best friend you've ever had. At the same time, don't give up on the fact that God created you to have a place inside of your own soul that you could begin to see a life that you cannot have without him and to see a future that cannot be created without him.
Great, great input. We don't have much time left, but your call is for people to live a life that is wide awake. I'm going to take the final moments of this segment and talk about what you mean when you say there is a hero in each of us.
Jim, what I mean by the hero inside of everyone is not that everyone becomes Gandhi or Mandela, you know. Not everyone gets to be Martin Luther King Jr., but all of us can live heroic moments. And my wife and daughter took me to a store because they wanted to shop, and I'd been out of town, so I wanted to hang with them, even though I didn't want to shop. And so they were in the line paying for their clothes, and I started listening into the conversation next to me at the next aisle. And there was this elderly couple, and they had one item, a teapot, and the woman was asking him if there was any kind of discount. And the cashier said, well, if you have our store's card, you can have a 30% discount. And she looked in her purse, but she didn't have the card. She goes, I don't have the store's card, but I need this teapot. Do you have any other kind of discount? And once again, he said, if you have our store's card, you can have a 30% discount. And she seemed a little confused, and she said, well, you don't understand. I almost burnt my daughter's house down, and I need to replace the teapot. Do you have any other kind of discount? And he said, as I told you, ma'am, if you have our store's card, you can have a 30% discount. And all of a sudden, I just felt this incredible sense of sorrow for them and almost frustration with this guy. And so I reached in my wallet. I found a $20 bill. I saw the teapot was $38. I tapped my wife, and I said, do you have a 20? And she handed me a 20 right away, which never happens. and so I looked at the guy, and there was no space between us because I was in the next aisle. And I tapped him. I said, here, I want to buy their teapot. And the man looked at me and said, I'm sorry, sir. You're not allowed to buy the item for the other customer. And I was a little confused. And I said, no, you understand. And I held up the money, and I said, I want to buy their teapot. And he looks right past me to the other cashier and said, he's not allowed to do that, right? He can't just buy the other customer's item. And it occurred to me, maybe it's a linguistic issue. I am an immigrant. Maybe it's my English, or maybe it's logistical. I'm standing in the wrong spot. So I got up and I walked around the counter to his side of the counter where the elderly couple was. And she was so embarrassed. They were both embarrassed, the man and the woman. And she goes, no, please don't. I'll buy it myself. And she's looking in her purse for money I know she doesn't have. And I just looked at her and I said, you'd make me so happy if you just let me buy you your teapot. And I looked at the guy and I held up the money and I looked him in the eyes and I said, I am going to buy the teapot. And then I put the money down and I walked out so that he could have no further conversation. We got in the car, me and Kim, and it was pouring down rain outside, but I wanted to wait to make sure she got her teapot. I saw her outside with the bag. Her husband had gone to get the car and she looked really distraught. So I asked my wife if she would run and talk to her for a moment. And Kim ran out in the rain, and next thing I saw, this elderly woman putting her head on my wife's shoulder, weeping, sobbing uncontrollably, and saying, you know, when I was younger, I owned my own restaurant, and now my life has come to this. I can't even buy anything I need. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And, you know, I didn't change their life forever, and it was just $38. But I know inside of all of us, if we would just live our lives more wide awake, more aware of what's going on around us, if we would just open our eyes and see how much beauty and compassion that we could bring into the world, we would all begin to discover the hero inside of us.
It's a great reminder.
Indeed, and it's a very powerful way for us to end today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Irwin McManus, so grateful to have him as our guest for the past couple of programs. The book Wide Awake is one Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends, and you can learn more about it in our online resource center at homeward.com. And Jim, the thing that I love about social media is the fact that it's always changing. And at homeward.com, we're always adding new videos, new articles, new tip sheets. There's a lot of new material available, and I highly recommend to our listening family, if you're not listening to us online right now, you can even do that as well. Listen to this daily edition of the program at homeward.com. We're very grateful to be able to keep this resource up and running.
You know, we have a lot of curriculum and small group kits. I appreciate so much these new DVDs and some of the audio CDs that really have books and study guides and all that. And if people aren't aware of that part of our ministry, I want to encourage them to go to homeward.com and get some information on that. And before we leave the air today, I just want to close by asking you to consider making a financial contribution to Homeward. Tough times for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's bringing families together and putting them apart, mm-hmm. but not easy. And obviously, what people don't want to do is be so focused on the finances that they miss the importance of family. Homeward's trying to come alongside that. At the same time, we're hurting a bit financially, too. You could really help by coming alongside Homeward. Large or small gift would really make a difference. And what we realize is that God is a big God, and our listeners can come through.
Absolutely. And you have. And we want to thank you. Before we go any further with this conversation, I want to thank you for being so steadfast and standing with us these many years that Homeward has been a broadcast entity. And as we continue on into this next fiscal year here that has just begun for us, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for understanding the ministry of Homeward. We've seen some radical changes even in the last 3 years. And yet to see the level of ministry that God has allowed us to maintain with this whole new paradigm has just been most encouraging. But at the core of that is you praying for us. It's you supporting us financially. It's your tax-deductible donations of $100 or $250. If you can give a gift of $25 each month on a regular basis, those recurring gifts are very helpful as well. And they're completely tax-deductible. Now, you can set that up online at homeward.com. Our website is absolutely secure, HOMEWORD.com. Or put a check in the mail and send it to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.